On the morning after the highly anticipated 2018 midterms, friends Pam Whittall, Tom Moore, and David Ahn gathered around a small table at the Linden Street Cafe in Old Town Fort Collins, something they do most mornings.
Monday, Wednesday, Fridays.
After yoga class.
Between sips of coffee, they talked about the outcomes of Tuesday's election.
Well, we're pretty excited about Jared Polis.
They're pretty pleased overall with the dozens of Democratic candidates that Coloradans elected last night, including the new governor, Jared Polis.
Hardworking, open-minded individual. We need more of those in politics.
But Whittall is also a bit disappointed.
And the initiatives didn't turn out the way we would have hoped.
What in particular were you looking at?
Well, the school one, for sure. 73, I think that was.
This election, the more progressive measures were defeated, including Amendment 73 and Proposition 110, which proposed raising taxes to fund public education and transportation. And perhaps one of the most hotly contested issues, Prop 112, did not pass. It would have increased the distance of new oil and gas drilling from homes to 2,500 feet.
You can buy anything, because that's why it didn't pass, I think.
David Ahn is talking about the money that was spent opposing 112, roughly $40 million that came mostly from the oil industry. While 56% of voters oppose the measure, organizers for Prop 112 say they'll continue to push for what they say are common sense regulations, perhaps in the next election. Across Old Town, a veteran of the U.S. Navy and Fort Collins native, Norm Cook, is sipping on his morning coffee at Starbucks. At 79, he says he tries to stay away from the pastries.
Sometimes a blueberry scone.
He's already pored over last night's results in this morning's paper. He wasn't rooting for either party, but thinks the winning candidates are strong.
I'm more interested in the person than the party, really.
If Colorado's voter turnout were a pie, there'd be a slice for Republicans and a slice for Democrats, but the biggest piece would go to the unaffiliated voters, like Cook, who had their highest turnout ever. Cook didn't vote for the new governor, Jared Polis, who is now the first openly gay governor in the country.
Well, that's okay, you know. That doesn't mean he won't do a good job. That doesn't happen to be my preference of lifestyle, but that's his business.
In neighboring Weld County, the morning crowd at Butters, a local diner, is sitting down to plates of sausage omelets and French toast. Josh Hamblin is here with his wife and two young kids. His thoughts on the new governor?
No comment.
Republican candidate Walker Stapleton won the Eastern Plains, including Weld County, as well as most of the Western Slope. But it was a blue streak that runs through the state along the Front Range that decided the race. And that's troubling for Hamblin.
I hate seeing Colorado go to the Democratic side.
According to some pundits, Colorado may continue to be a friendly place for the Democratic Party in the future, especially if trends in population diversity and education attainment continue to climb. In historically conservative counties like Weld, voters like Hamblin are concerned by what could be a growing cultural shift. But he says there is one silver lining from the election, the failure of Prop 112.
I mean, that's our family livelihood.
Like many in the region, Hamblin works in the oil industry.
I think the oil and gas industry did a great job educating the public to let them know how big of a devastation it'd be to the economy.
As a conservative, he's disappointed by Colorado's new political representation. But he says the failure of the more progressive ballot initiatives is in his favor. I'm Esther Honig.
And I'm Brian Larson. Colorado voters elected the nation's first openly gay governor, ousted a five-term Republican congressman, and only passed five of the 13 statewide ballot questions in Tuesday's election. For a bit more on the results, I'm joined by KUNC's Scott Franz and Luke Runyon. Scott, when you look at things, the questions that had letters attached to them were actually more successful than those with numbers. But the voters did say no to Amendment V. Remind us again what this would have done.
It would have lowered the age you need to be to run for the state legislature from 25 years old to 21. Because amendment questions needed 55% of the vote to pass, Amendment W that dealt with judicial retention elections also didn't make it.
So I think one of the most telling things out of Tuesday's election was the overwhelming passage of Amendments Y and Z dealing with gerrymandering, the redrawing of congressional maps for political gain, both at the state house and in Colorado's congressional races.
Well, Brian, what this does is it puts the control into the hands of independent commissions and not the state legislature. But CU Boulder political scientist Ken Bickers doesn't think the changes will take politics out of the decisions, since most of the redistricting plans end up at the state Supreme Court. And because the new commissions would need a supermajority to approve a plan, he thinks the court will still have the final say.
And that raises the question of what's the partisan distribution of the judges that sit on the state Supreme Court.
We probably won't know until after the 2020 census, but because of population growth, it is very likely that Colorado is going to gain an 8th congressional seat. When would the maps need to be redrawn?
Bickers thinks a new map will be in place before the 2022 election. And he already has a prediction about how each party will fare under the new map in that contest.
My guess is we end up with districts that favor the election of 4 Republicans and 4 Democrats, just because it's going to be very hard to really tilt it.
Luke, you covered the 6th congressional district race last night where Democrat and first-time candidate Jason Crow defeated incumbent Congressman Mike Kaufman.
Crow's win helped Democrats regain control in the U.S. House. But Crow is already distinguishing himself as not wanting to be just another party loyalist. One big unanswered question is just how unified this new class of lawmakers, including Crow and another new Colorado Congressman, Joe Neguse, will coalesce when they get to Washington, D.C. After Crow's acceptance speech last night, I asked if he'd be voting for Nancy Pelosi for Speaker.
No, I will not. I've called for a new generation of leadership since day one of this campaign, and we're going to continue to push for that.
Crow's spokesperson says he's not pledging support for any other possible speaker candidates until the field is a bit more concrete. Pelosi herself has made it clear that she has no intention of stepping aside. So this is going to be something that you're going to want to watch as the next Congress prepares to get to work.
Crow's victory and other close races where Democrats made inroads in traditionally GOP strongholds, I'm thinking of Texas, could bring more attention to actually to Colorado in 2020, particularly in one of our 2 Senate seats.
Yeah, Crow got lots of support from a pretty key demographic, suburban women. In general, they're moving further away from the Republican Party. Crow's district includes South Denver suburbs like Centennial and Highlands Ranch, where mom Jenny Gunther canvassed for Crow.
We're thrilled with Crow's win, and we're going to support him, but especially us suburban moms in Douglas County, this is just the beginning for us.
She says they're already looking forward to 2020, and that prompted another mom, Cindy Sandu of Centennial, to say this.
Cory Gardner better watch out.
Yeah.
The moms have been woken.
We are coming.
The moms are woken.
Yes.
And we should note, Cory Gardner is now the only statewide elected official in the Republican Party in Colorado, which paints a pretty big target on his back heading into the next election cycle.
Thanks, Luke. Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Brian.
You can find more coverage of Tuesday's election at our website, kunc.org.